present Janet Brown, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Kenneth Williams in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And they're going to try and speak once again, if they can, on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And we'll begin the show this week with Peter Jones. And Peter, the subject is My Ploy. Many of those are used in Just a Minute. Will you tell us about My Ploy in Just a Minute, starting now?
Well, my ploy is to make a remark which will deflate or take down a peg or two the opposition. For instance, when I see Kenneth Williams on the way here, I might say to him, have you thought of going to a really good elocutionist who might help you with your diction? And this has the effect of upsetting him terribly. I might go to a restaurant and say to the head waiter, I want a really good meal. Can you suggest a first-class place where I can go to get it? And this has the effect of putting them on edge. And generally, one is at a great advantage afterwards. To chairman, I have a different approach.
Jenny Brown, a challenge.
Hesitation.
No, I want to hear what he says about the chairman.
I thought he might. You see, yes.
So that's a different ploy, but no, I don't think it was hesitation, Janet, so I don't consider that a correct challenge. And there was the 20...
Oh, you see, you're being challenged from the floor. You can see it. Yes, there's an undercurrent of rebellion running through there. Always hot enough here tonight. Always really hot enough.
The natives were certainly rumbling.
Yes. Janet, as you are our guest, and the audience obviously feel that I should show sympathy and understanding towards you, I give you a point for that challenge, and also keep the subject with Peter, to be utterly fair, because that was my original decision, and there are 20 seconds left, Peter, on my ploy, starting now.
Well, I create a situation whereby the chairman has to apologize and reverse his decision. Somehow.
Clement Freud, challenge you then.
Repetition of chairman.
Yes,
we have enough trouble with one.
So, you repeat a chairman, and there are 12 seconds left, Clement, and you take over the subject of my ploy starting now.
I didn't really have a ploy.
Peter Jones's challenge.
If he hasn't got one, he can't talk about it.
But in just a minute, whether you have one or know anything about it, you still have to try and keep going on the subject and not deviate. And this is what Clement was endeavoring to do, so he has 9 seconds to continue with my ploy, starting now.
As such, but you might say that an honest, honorable, decent, lightweight, hard-working, industrious, bearded...
So Clement Freud kept going with my ploy until the whistle went, which tells us that 60 seconds is up, and as you know, whoever's speaking at that moment gains an extra point. Clement Freud has 3 and the lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, will you begin the second round, and the subject is soda water. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
One of the saddest things about present-day life is the dearth of free soda water available in pubs and bars today. Not very long ago, one used to be able to go almost anywhere, and on the counter there was a siphon, a bottle, or even if you asked for soda water, it cost no money, and therefore you could take in your pocket a slice of lemon, a few cubes of ice, and your hip flask. And without an outrageous sum of money spent, you could partake of a pretty decent beverage for free, no more. And I deplore this. I would make a plea to anyone who is a licensee in England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, or the provinces, the Third World, who receives this program every now and again, albeit a little later than we have it here, and say, give us free soda water.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of free.
Yes, you mentioned free right at the beginning. Mm. Peter, you have 9 seconds now, having got in after that long dissertation, to talk about soda water, starting now.
Well, I think that whoever wants soda water should be prepared to pay for it, whether they're in the Third World or anywhere else, apart from the next. And not only that...
Kenneth Williams got in just before the whistle.
Yes, I detected a hesitation.
No hesitation.
He got into a terrible mess there. I think I should take it.
Rubbish.
There was
rubbish.
A hesitation just before the whistle.
No, no, he's only interrupting to show he's alive. Because he hasn't spoken.
Well, I think that's a very good reason to interrupt, but I agree with the hesitation. And there's half a second on soda water, Kenneth, starting now.
It helps you burp. It's a very good thing.
So Kenneth got the extra point then. He's in second place now, and he's going to begin the next round. Kenneth, the subject is my average day. If you have an average day, will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
It inevitably begins with a cup of coffee and then the phone call on which that dear friend of mine, Maudie Fittle, with fun with a Frankfurter, expatiates at length upon the business of her exploding bow tie and the various seances she attends. She's something of a medium, and how her ectoplasm explodes as well as her bow tie. And although I've said it twice, it doesn't really.
Peter Jones is jealous.
Repetition of explode.
Well, Maudie Fittle was always is exploding, dear. That's the whole point of Maudie.
Everybody you know seems to explode in one way or another.
Day. I mean, what a way to start.
I know. A day in the life of Windy Williams.
If Maudie Fittleworth is your average day, I hate to think what your abnormal one, your... Peter, I agree with the challenge. There are 36 seconds for my average day, starting now.
Well, my average day, naturally, falls somewhere in between one of those incredibly exciting days when something really most...
Kenneth Williams.
I've had hesitation.
You are fears are correct, and there are... 27 seconds on my average day, Kenneth, starting now.
And it always includes the business of brushing the teeth, which should be done from the top of the gum downwards and not across, because then you just lodge the particles, do you see, in between the dentate objects I've discussed earlier on, molar or canine, depending on your proclivities. Done myself in there.
You certainly did. A Clement Freud challenge.
What are you saying?
Repetition.
What of?
Ha. Huh.
I think he's... Clement, he definitely hesitated, but he didn't repeat himself. No, 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 he didn't say ha, 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 ha. No, he was just laughing.
Exactly what he said.
No, no. Because that wasn't part of what he was talking about. So, therefore, that was an incorrect challenge. If you'd had him for hesitation, I would have agreed. So, I leave it with Kenneth.
Catch a row! Yourself. We'll have no rebellion here against this fine chairman. Marvelous man. What a man. You won't find his like anywhere else.
No. You see how quickly they change when you give it in their favour. Kenneth, there are 3 seconds on my average day starting now.
And then a spoonful of honey, taken with a little warm water. Does that mean I'm won?
You haven't won yet. We've got about another 20 seconds.
I'm in the lead, I mean.
Oh, you're definitely in the lead, yes. But I was going to announce it with a little bit more panache than
good,
that.
Oh, good, yeah.
And say at the end of that round, Kenneth Williams was speaking as the whistle went. He had a little bit of encouragement from the audience and the chairman. And he's got a very commanding lead at the end of the round.
Yes.
Janet Brown, your turn to begin. The subject is how I choose my stockings. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, being asked how I choose my stockings is really a rather old-fashioned phrase. I would no longer choose stockings, but tights. However, I would prefer to go back to my childhood days and think about Christmas stockings and the joy that was experienced when one was having them filled up. But in my case, I preferred not to have a stocking, but a pair of school knickers. And there they hung from the mantelpiece, these lovely navy blue gym knickers with a large brass ornament on the top to keep them from falling down. The reason for this being that the elastic at the bottom prevented any parcels slipping through the legs.
Janet, you're doing magnificently, but I'm afraid... afraid you were challenged by Clement Freud after 28 seconds. What was the challenge?
Two knickers.
Yes.
But you have to have two.
Knicker.
Can't have one knicker.
Well, that's a pair of knickers, really, isn't it? So, but you repeated the word knickers, I'm afraid, and so as the chairman is Nicholas Parsons, I think it's only... Clement, it was a correct challenge. There are 32 seconds on how I choose my knickers. I'm sorry, no, I'm... have been a good subject for Clement Freud, but instead of that, he's going to try and tell us something about how I choose my stockings in 32 seconds, starting now.
As I don't wear stockings myself, I choose them for such female members of my family who do not wear tights or knickers, among which I would like to mention...
Peter Jones, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Peter, I'm inclined to agree with you. Yes, and I also want to know how Clement Freud knows which members of his family dress in that way. But anyway, thank goodness we're not going to go into that, because Peter has the subject, and there are 15 seconds on how I choose my stockings, starting now.
Well, I go into the house...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so.
Yes. He was hesitating. Didn't get off the ground, well. Really.
So we'll hear from Kenneth Williams on how he chooses his stockings now. How I choose my stockings, Kenneth, and there are 13 seconds left starting now.
Well, I swan in to one of these large department stores and go to the hosiery counter and ask for a beige or gunmetal shade, which is awfully becoming to my shapely calf. And frequently...
So, Kenneth Williams once again was speaking as the whistle went and has increased his lead at the end of that round. Peter Jones, your turn to begin the next round. And the subject is sideshows. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, they're not what they were. I can remember seeing the most fascinating things at sideshows attached to circuses. I remember once I met the oldest man in the world, or he was alleged to be, by Burton Mills, and he was 156. And it was quite extraordinary, shaking this palsied hand, and he was very fragile, naturally he was. And have you all put down the buzzers? I always get terribly unnerved, you see. I always get unnerved.
Janet Brown is challenged.
Yes, he hesitated.
You are absolutely right. Yes, he came to a blinding halt, actually. Janet, what a brilliant challenge.
It was the palsied hand that put you off, wasn't it?
Right.
Well, I knew it was. I saw you went white.
Yes.
I identified with it.
I knew that. I could feel something was coming over you.
And Janet was so overcome, she could hardly press her buzzer. But she got in there. There are 29 seconds, Janet Brown, for you to talk about sideshows, starting now.
Well, the picture of the palsied hand that Peter has just given us so upset me, because in my past days at sideshows, I always found enormous enjoyment. Simply walking round the stalls, listening to the children laughing, hearing the sounds of the music, looking at them playing around on the playgrounds that they had, I thought this was marvellous fun. And, of course, if it came to getting a gun, trying to aim for the circle of that little round dot which was at the other side of the wall. Who cares? Who cares, everybody said. If you're a
whistle, who cares? Oh, 1 second to go, and so who cares? Who cares? Clement Freud does.
I care. Yes.
So 1 second, Clement, on sideshows, starting now.
Find the fat lip.
Well, Clement Freud got in just before the whistle, gained an extra point, but he's still 1 point behind our leader, Kenneth Williams. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is time. Will you tell us something about time in just a minute, starting now?
Herbally speaking, time, together with bay and parsley, is one of the three main...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Herbs.
Herbs?
Hesitation.
I think you're right. I've never known so much hesitation. There are 50 seconds left on time with you, Peter, starting now.
It makes a very good herb attached to rosemary, if you make a little bunch of it.
Clement Freud.
deviation. It doesn't make a very good herb. It is a very good herb.
Yes, not attached to rosemary. It is a herb in its own right. So, Clement, that is a correct challenge. And there are 46 seconds on time starting now.
But it would, of course, be absurd to say that if you live in Auckland or in Australia...
What deviation? What's that got to do with this time thing?
He hesitated, and you have got the subject. And there are 41 seconds on time starting now.
Time rolleth in a great stream. What's the matter? What's that?
He's muttering in his beard again. Clement, what are you muttering about?
Deviation, he said. What's the matter? Wasn't talking about time.
You're doing your one-upmanship.
No,
it's
not.
It's revolting, deceptive one-upmanship, and it's not right. Kenneth, you have another point for that wrong challenge, and there are 35 seconds on time starting now.
Time, gentlemen, please, is what we often hear in the alehouse, or inn, or public place of refreshment. And what a dolorous note it strikes in the hearts of those who wish to stay on and have another noggin or one for the road.
Clement Freud.
That was repetition.
Of, yes.
Ha. I mean, it yes. came out...
It really I'll give it out. To you this time, yes. I was
no, I didn't being... want charity. I mean...
I'm not giving you charity. I'm trying to be fair to everybody in the game so that you all have a fair turn. Clement, there are 12 seconds on time, starting now.
One of the most interesting things returning from the Antipodes is that you pass something called the International Dateline, where 1 minute it is 11:15, and the next... We shall never know.
And the next second, the whistle goes, telling us that the just-a-minute time is up. And Clement Freud was again speaking, and so he has gained an extra point, and he's now equal with Kenneth Williams in the lead. So, Kenneth, look to your laurels in this game, and it's your turn to begin a subject specially chosen for you, Tiberius Sempronius Gracchus.
Do you mean the other subjects are not specially chosen for us?
I do not mean that.
No, because I'm the one that's special, and you get that through your aid, and if you're in now, or I'm going to start raving mad, because I am special, and I,
Nicholas.
You agree with me, don't you? I you said to me in the corridor, didn't you? You've got something.
The trouble was it was something of mine.
No, it was the oatmeal. Don't you remember the oatmeal?
Yeah, you were wearing it.
Yes.
Right, Kenneth. Every subject is chosen. The fact that this one is specially for Kenneth has got nothing to do with the idea that others have chosen specially for you, Clement. Tiberius Sempronius Gracchus. Kenneth, can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
One of two known, of course, as the Gracchi. What an illustrious pair of sons they were to that great city of Rome. And as a tribune representing the plebeian, don't forget who were opposed to the patricians, he sought the alleviation of worst wrongs in the small holding area of the populace. And with the great legacy of Pergamon, said to the Senate, give these riches to the people. And was brutally murdered by those who held power. Oh, I'm carried away, really I am. And, of course, he died, and that's it, you see.
Kenneth Williams is taking a bow at the end of that. He had 45 seconds he could tell us about Tiberius Sempronius Gracchus, and then he dried up, and Clement Freud was the first to challenge. So, Clement, your challenge was...
A hesitation.
That is right, and so you take over the subject and you start now. Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. There are 13 1/4 seconds for Tiberius Sempronius Gracchus, Peter, starting now.
Well, all I can really safely say about Tiberius Sempronius Gracchus is that his middle name was Sempronius. I don't think anybody can really challenge that.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of really.
Oh, yes, I can really say and really challenge. Mm. Yes, that is correct, Clement. So with 2 seconds to go, you've got in again on Tiberius Sempronius Gracchus, starting now.
Gracchus, S.T. years.
So, Clement Freud, listening well and challenging well, has gained a number of points in that round and has taken the lead ahead of Kenneth Williams. Peter Jones is in third place and Janet Brown is trailing a little. And we're back to Peter Jones to begin. And the subject is The Odd Man Out. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Wasn't it a wonderful film with James Mason and Orson Welles? And they played that music, that haunting... I can't remember that.
And Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Bit of hesitation there. I got the wrong film.
Yeah, I thought that was very quick of you to pick that up, Kenneth. In like a flash you were. Yes, well done.
Picking up the third man.
And I agree with the challenge. And our 51 seconds for the odd man out starting now.
The odd man out is the one sitting on the edge, you see, at the ball, like a grass widow or blue stocking, as he was originally known. Incidentally, that word's been taken over in quite a wrong connotation due to corruption, rather like Bright Helmston becoming Brighton. And these mistakes give rise to all sorts of common misapprehensions which should be put right. Odd man out was the chap who at the dance didn't get a go. Do you see? No partner appeared. Obviously he was reeking of B.O. and they all thought, oh, let's give him a miss, my dear, which was the origin of the nosegay, because they shoved the lot in their face and thought, perhaps that'll take away this terrible stink. You see? But then, of course, then there were these other odd men out who were card game evacuees that vanished.
Janet Brown has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes, it was very strange. And there
hesitation and perspiration.
Yes. There are 2 seconds, Janet. You've got in there just before the whistle with the odd man out starting now.
I always feel sorry.
Well, we have an interesting situation in the score now. Janet Brown and Peter Jones are pretty well equal together in the third place, but no, in second place, because equal together in first place are Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams. And we haven't much longer, so it's going to be a tight squeeze to the finish. That sounds strange. Clement Freud, we're back with you to begin. The subject is snake charmers. Will you tell us something about snake charmers in just a minute, starting now?
There are several good stores in Jermyn Street where you can purchase boxes or hats, even coffers and baskets, in which serpents or other snakes may be kept in order to be charmed in public. Many sideshows at circuses up and down the country, also in towns and cities...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation, I'm afraid. Definitely hesitation. Yes, I think that. Got it. Got straight in there, you see, like lightning.
Good
well,
challenge.
Well, I actually
good
thought
challenge.
There probably wasn't. But Clement Freud decided that
good
he
challenge.
Definitely hesitated, which I think is very generous
good
of him. And so, Kenneth, you have 41 seconds to take over the subject of snake charmers, starting now.
Indian roulette is where the man sits in the middle with his snake charmer's flute, surrounded by 6 deadly cobblers who are...
I tell you what, Jerry Brown challenged you. Everybody in the audience is wondering who is going to explain to you your mistake. Well, you did make a slight error there.
What was it?
We were talking about snakes and you referred to cobblers.
Cobblers?
No, you said cobblers.
I didn't. The recording can be played back.
Well, everyone in this audience thought you did.
Well, they're all idiots.
They wouldn't be wiping their eyes.
Anyway, this man has got his snake charmer.
I'm sorry, you were challenged.
Oh, take no note. He's got his snake charmer. And this snake charming flute can mesmerize these deadly cobras, you see.
Yes.
So he is not in any danger of these 6 deadly cobras.
Yeah, yeah,
but one of them dead.
Kenneth.
One of them dead, you see. What a yacht. As if anyone would say cobbler for cobbler.
I do agree. No, I don't think anyone would say that, but you might.
Yeah.
And Janet Brown got in with both challenges. She challenges you.
You couldn't have a deadly cobbler, could you?
She challenged you on that for deviation, and when you get going without the chairman's permission, she challenged you again.
She shouldn't be on it. We shouldn't have women on the show anyway.
She challenged you for
why
repetition.
Why they get rid of women on this show? It used to be all right when it was be. Male. When
Kenneth.
It was all male.
Because
women have ruined it, eh? Such a row.
Such a row.
It's women that bring back that touch of purity.
And that touch of sanity as well.
Yes, thank you.
So, Janet, we have little time left to play the game, so will you bring a touch of purity,
yes.
sanity,
indeed.
Intelligence, and also charm and your natural wit
thank
in 30
you.
Seconds with this subject of snake cobras? I mean, snake charmers starting now.
I once appeared in a show with a snake charmer, and while standing in the dressing room, I said, "Where are they?" Meaning the cobras. I say that very clearly. I'm sorry, but Kenneth Williams is looking at me. And when I asked her where these snakes were, she said they're in that bag lying on the dressing room table. And there they were. Fortunately, the bag was zipped up, and so I was in no trouble at all. But I said, "Why do you keep them so near the radiator?" She said, "In order..."
Well, the innocent subject of snake charm has brought a hilarious finish to this particular game of Just a Minute. And let me tell you that in the final situation, Peter Jones, who did so well at the start, came in fourth place, but he was only 1 point behind our guest, Janet Brown, who gave this great flourish at the end to arrive in third place, a few points behind Clement Freud, who this week finished 1 point behind our winner, who is Kenneth Williams. Well, as you can hear, listeners, it's a very popular win, and I'm sure that if Kenneth Williams hadn't won, the audience would have been most disappointed in view of the contribution he's given to the programme this week. So let me say that we've enjoyed playing Just a Minute as always. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to it, and you'll want to tune in again at the same time next week when, with one guest and three regulars and myself, we'll try and play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here today, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.